Welcome to The Yarn, a school library journal production. I'm Colby Sharp. Chris Barron's The Gray is one of the most important books written for kids in 2023. This middle grade novel does a wonderful job looking at anxiety in a way that is going to help a whole lot of kids. Today's episode is part of our Unraveler series. In each Unraveler episode, a book creator takes us inside one of their books. Their inspirations, fears, frustrations, triumphs, epiphanies, the whole thing pulled apart. Unraveled. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Chris. I'm not sure that I have ever talked to someone that loves writing as much as Chris does. It was so refreshing to listen to him talk about creating stories. It is time to unravel The Gray. Chris, tell us a little bit about The Gray.
Yeah, The Gray is a story that really comes out of my experience and was, I tried to weave into like a tale of this kid named Sasha who is really sensitive to nature and to the world around him. And he spends a lot of his early life with his Uncle Lou and Aunt Ruthie out on their, you know, in the country. And that kind of gets severed when the family really focuses their life and life really begins for him in the city. So he's in New York City and away from all that. And then in him, you know, his anxiety starts to grow from common things. And then the things that soothe him, things like technology, things that used to really help him, start to kind of turn on him and make things a little bit more exacerbated, a little bit worse. And it grows and grows until it kind of becomes this world that that takes him over, like a fog that comes over him, and he calls it the gray. Mm-hmm. And the worse it gets, the more his parents try to understand. And, you know, they have different perspectives like so many of us do. And for Sasha, his dad wants him to toughen up and maybe rein in his imagination. And the mom is trying to understand. But as things get worse, you know, he goes into therapy, starts to get some help, and they decide that maybe the best course of action is for him to spend some summer time back with his Aunt Ruthie. But it's hard for Sasha because his Uncle Lou had passed away previously, and it was just hard for him to imagine going back. And he was so involved with all his friends, so he heads out to be with his aunt for the summer. And much to his, you know, he doesn't really want to. Mm-hmm. And of course, the gray will find him there too, and he knows this. And so it's a really difficult prospect. But through some decompression, some changes, he starts to discover a life that he had forgotten and to find adventure and friends. And of course, horses are a big part of it for Sasha. And through kind of being open to new things, he finds the courage and the ability to change.
And you mentioned in the author's note and a little bit there that this is a very personal story for you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the books I write end up being, you know, spun. I think this is true for so many authors. Like, you know, I always tell my students to like write what you know, and so much of what happens in this story comes from a time actually where as the son of an artist growing up in New York City, there was a time where we left the city and moved up to upstate New York and lived on a horse farm. And it was a deeply impactful time in my life. One, because I'd always loved animals and nature. So it's so impressed on me. And I was 8 or 9 years old to go from New York City out into the complete countryside. It's just, you know, at that age, things get pressed on you. But I also really had a hard time leaving a life I knew and entering a new life. And there were times I wouldn't talk. I really struggled with anxious feelings. I would say things I didn't want to say in class. I would, you know, not only that, I mean, the school system was vastly different upstate New York from New York City. When I left PS6 and I went to this other middle school, it was just really different. So it's really a callback to that time of just complete discovery and learning more about who I was, even at that age.
What is it about horses, do you think, that were so impactful to you? And you always hear all these different stories about how brilliant horses are, how much they understand us. So What is it about horses?
I know it's a good question. I wonder. I mean, part of it is just simply there's this creature, this being who's bigger than you that you get to connect with. I don't know. I was just talking about this with my daughter that because we have a lot of chickens and we just love them. They're like chickens are kind of like little dogs. Like they follow you around. They come when you call them. You carry them around. Horses are like more like a companion that's alongside you that. You can't just be like, come on, horse. You have to build trust. You have to have a relationship. And in some ways, they're kind of like, if I may say, like magical beings. And with that trust and that companionship, you feel like you can accomplish so much more. And there's like a sense of confidence that comes with building a relationship with a horse, like connecting with a horse, traveling with it. And so I got to experience that growing up. I think New York City kids tend to be independent anyway, but I think going out to the countryside on my horse was a totally different experience. Also, I'll say this, it's very humbling, like something that's completely out of our control, and we live like in a time of such control, like we can literally modify the settings of everything we do, right? To make it the most control. I think that can be good, but a horse is a wild, untamed creature, but of course good. And we get to connect. So there's like a mystical element, spiritual element to horses too.
What was it like writing this book? Like, did it just kind of all come out? Was it lots of different drafts? Did you like just you got the idea or decided to write it and started writing it, or took like years to write? Like, what was it like writing The Gray?
I love this question because I think I'm just starting to answer it. Like writing a book is such a process that when people ask this question, when you ask this question, so many thoughts filter in because writing every book is different. The Gray was a unique process for me because it was my first traditionally published book, not in verse. And there were a lot of reasons for that. But writing the book, it was many, many drafts. And actually, I initially drafted most of it in verse. And mainly that's because that's how I think. And I was thinking of my friend Megan Freeman, who I think wrote Alone the opposite direction. So we have been talking about this before, but I wrote this in verse because I wanted the kind of portraiture of verse, like the scene by scene, the images that capture the emotion. But then the story meanders into its prose and weaves into the tale of the prose. And I think because of that, I spent a lot of time revising and drafting and cutting away a lot of the elements that were separate from that were, say, important, but separate from this particular story. Until I was able to have that kind of final draft would represent this adventure for Sasha. Because I think any book with any character, there are so many other adventures they're going through that we don't get to see. And I always remember reading growing up, I wanted to know more of like, what did that character do later that day? So I wrote a lot of that, but I pushed it all aside to get that kind of centered tale manuscript.
What was the hardest thing going from verse to prose?
It's a good question. I think
Or was
with
it maybe it was just easy? It's just super easy. Like you just
super easy,
super
just
easy.
I basically snapped my fingers and had all my kids just
Yeah,
drafted.
naturally.
No, I think part of the hardest thing is that the verse relies quite a bit on the internal. With verse, you discover the internal landscape of a character. You see their inner life and their deep perspective. And that's what I love about verse. Prose also does this. Prose is also lyrical. The prose we love is lyrical. And so it carries over some of the elements. So in some sense, it's not that different. But at the same time, I wanted to have a much more of an external element in The Gray, to feel that sweeping countryside. And also, of course, this idea that, here's Sasha, the main character, who's having this world, The Gray, press on him. So from that external to the internal. So from out to in, maybe versus in to out, which comes with verse.
Yeah, because if just talking hearing you talk about it, I'm thinking, oh, the gray is this thing that's inside of you. And you're talking about how it's like it's actually it feels like external and it's pressing down on you. That's such an interesting way to look at things.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's true. I mean, the gray is inside all of us, in some way. And for Sasha, for sure. And I think it's when it combines with that external world and kind of mixes up. And that becomes our perspective. And sometimes we learn and grow from our perspective. Oftentimes we do, especially for kids. But that external world mixes with that and can alter, modify, affect our perspective. And of course, the events that happen to us.
So it's interesting, you were talking about, like, you know, these characters and these stories, like they have so many other things that would be going on in their lives and what to include and what not to include. I was so fascinated. And one of the things I love the most about this book was Sasha's interaction with the other kids when he was spending that summer time with his aunt. What is it like weaving in their stories? And like, while they're, I guess, minor characters, they were so important to the story. What's that process like?
I love
it. Because it sounds really hard. It sounds really hard.
But it's also so fun. You know,
okay, I like that.
Like, you get to have all these characters in the book that are part of the story. I mean, you mentioned minor characters, and I know what you mean by that. At the same time, they're just absolutely part of it, you know? And mm-hmm. So Ivy and Eli and all these characters, kind of the villain, you know, all of these. I wrote endlessly about these characters, and I think they offer such a fun way to show the main character interacting. Mm-hmm. But they have, this book is really a lot about perspectives and how we have many different perspectives. And here are these characters who bring in their own perspectives, their own difficulties, their own challenges. And I think sometimes, like, when we learn a friend's difficulties and challenges is when we actually grow. So it was a lot of fun to weave in, and also, you know, difficult and sort of emotional to bring in. You know, it's not just Sasha that's having a hard time. Sasha's also having a fun time. Here's another character who's having a really hard time. And so suddenly you're not alone. So it was really, really interesting. And I wrote quite a bit of their side stories. And I think any writer does this. You know, you just take it as far as it has to go. I wrote a lot of scenes, you know, Ivy loves dancing, you know, and I just wrote a lot about that, you know, and not all of it fits in the book, but it's such a blast to write those characters. The hard part is really fitting it all together for this particular story.
I'm getting the impression that you love writing stories. Like, you seem like, what is it about writing that you brings you so much joy?
I do love writing. I mean, you know, for me, it was always a way to explore and understand the world around me. And I love how much, I know this sounds counterintuitive, I love how much time it takes. Because, you know, there's no barrier for writing. I think we can jump right into it. It's when we start checking ourselves is when we stop ourselves. But I just love the process of exploring and understanding an idea. And that's what writing does for me, to tell the story so that we can understand better what's happening to us, why we experience something, how we feel, and also to be inspired and encouraged. And also, I would say lately, I was just, again, talking to my kids about this, like, you know, with a book, with writing a longer work, you can really see how something unfolds. And so when you get to write that process, you know, it's not one quick lesson. It's the rise and fall of characters, the redemption of characters, the relationships, because friendships are so important to all of us, especially to kids, and learning to trust. And so writing just is a chance to go after that in a way that explores so many dimensions.
When do you first remember enjoying writing?
I'll tell you this. There are two times I'll tell you. One is, we learned in third grade in Mrs. Goldberg's class, we had to write haiku. We had to write 25 haiku.
Oh.
Which is a lot. I mean, that's a lot.
It's a lot of ideas, yeah.
When I tell my college students now, like, we're going to write, I do it, by the way, I do that assignment now to my students. I'm like, hey, I did it in third grade.
I can do it in third grade, yeah.
But I wrote a haiku. Can I just recite it really
fast? Yeah, I'd love it, yeah.
Skiing down the slope at 100 miles an hour. Uh-oh, there's a tree. Now, that, it may not be the best haiku. It might not even fit the genre perfectly. But my classmates laughed really hard when I read it. And I remember feeling that, like, maybe, because I was a quiet, introverted kid. And maybe if I could write then and get a reaction like that. And so anyway, that kind of pulled me into the idea of maybe I'm just someone who needs a little time to get my thoughts out. and to explore them on paper, and then maybe I'm ready to connect a little more. There was that time. And then the other time was in fifth grade. We moved from New York all the way to Arizona for a little while for a venture that my parents are going through. And that was a really difficult move for me, part of the overall story I was telling. And I had read Bridge of Terabithia, and I read The Hobbit kind of in a row. And those books were so, so different, very different books. But they really inspired in me this idea of, like, I can feel emotions and that's okay. And stories can give emotions and help us feel them. And then I love the idea of, like, this grand adventure. So I imagine myself going on an adventure, and then I invented my own characters, which I called, this is not very original, Thorins, because I was driving through Texas and there were thorn bushes everywhere. And I imagine, like, what if you could live in those thorn bushes and be safe? So when I got to fifth grade, I did nothing but draw and write these stories, even in math class. And thankfully, I had a great math teacher there. It's like, you know, Chris, I love that you're writing these stories. I love that you're doing this, but you need to do the math also. So he didn't stop me. He made time for me to do it. And so those two times, he was a great teacher. I mean, he saw that this is something I cared about. Anyway, those are two, like, milestone or markers for me that really got me into writing.
And when from there did you first think that maybe you could do this as part of your life's work?
So I really wanted to be a photojournalist. That was my dream in college, but journalism is very difficult.
Tough time. Yeah.
But I was told the quick version of this, of that transition into this writing is I was in a college class, a creative writing class, and I wrote a really terrible love poem. And I had a great professor who's a poet and also was a college athlete like I was. And so when I wrote the love poem, he told me straight to my face, this is not a good poem, which you should never do. But he said it to me. Then he told me exactly what I should be doing, which is to write about what I knew. And I wrote a poem about rowing. I was a rower in college on the crew team. And that poem actually, like, it was all about, it's called Waking the Boats. And it was all about getting up, because in crew, you have to get up at 5 a.m. And that was the first poem I ever had published. Mm. And it really inspired me to write more. And then I started an MFA program where I really kind of dug into poetry and started to understand poetry more and more. And in 2012, came out with my first book of poems. And then out of that, I always tell this story, but really quick, out of that book, there was a poem called First Kiss, which I'll just say the first few lines if it's okay. Fat kids don't have girlfriends, friends, yes, but never kissing. And when I read those lines, and I'd read it as a lighter poem, one of my friends who's a YA author at the time grabbed me and said, you need to write middle grade books. And I was like, what's middle grade? But of course I knew what middle grade, those are the books that changed my life, you know? And he handed me Brown Girl Dreaming and said, write a book like this. I'm like, okay, well, what? And I started reading it. And then I grabbed every verse novel I could grab and realized I wanted to write my first book, which was All of Me. And so that was really the origin story of that, of this process for me.
Mm. And here we are.
Here we are.
So last question, what is your hope for The Gray?
I really hope that The Gray is a book that is, first of all, it's an interesting, engaging read for kids, for teachers. I've had so many teachers just express to me the need for a book that deals with not just anxiety by itself, but the practical ways that it can be looked at and understood. Because I think we're in a new, you know, this pandemic world where there's all kinds of trauma and anxiety happening that we don't understand. And I see it in my students and all around me. So my dearest hope, you know, is that The Gray is a book that will help explore and help parents, teachers, and especially young readers understand that they're not alone, and that, you know, it's not a quick fix. There's not a new thing. I also, you know, want to inspire a sense of adventure and being open to new things. I think we all have a gray, like you said, inside of us, and you know, as part of us. And I, my hope is that, you know, readers will know they're not alone in this, and that they can explore new things and gain new perspectives to find their way out. And of course, my hope is that kids will learn to connect more with horses and nature, which is part of everything I write too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Yarn. Thank you to Chris Barron for taking the time to chat with me. Additional music for this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. Thank you to Heinemann Publishing for sponsoring this episode. Thank you to my friend Travis Yonker for helping me produce this podcast. Travis and I are heading back to school this month. I cannot wait to hear Travis talk about the books he's reading and sharing with the kids he serves in his school library. My name is Colby Sharp. Thank you for listening.